I'm Holly Reese. I'm the founder of Warrior Defenders. I'm a certified tactical self-defense instructor, and I specialize in women's self-defense. I teach technical drills for survival skills and education on self-defense tools and how to use them. My journey started in self-defense because I'm a domestic violence survivor. I'm here to empower women, to teach them how to be their own heroes, and to learn today to have a safer tomorrow. It's too easy,
I just kill it with... This is Margie from Connecting Hearts Network. I'd like you to take just a moment and listen to Linda Kirkpatrick explain to you what Family Patterns Matters is all about.
Family Patterns Matter works with youth and their families to help overcome barriers that prevent their success. We meet twice a month with mentoring, tutoring, teaching life skills, resilience, gratitude, and kindness. We also bring music and art therapy. Please visit our website at www.familypatternsmatter.org.
Hello. I'm Pina Payne with Contour Mortgage, and we're so excited. We have just moved to this new company, and we are located at 560 Noonan Crossing Bypass in Noonan next to Art and Jake's, and we have some great products. Our interest rates are better than any other companies, and we also have some great products for the VA. We can do a better deal for you with fees than any other company. We have a lot of different kind of programs.
Shopping for insurance doesn't have to be stressful. I'm Christy, owner of Ellsworth Insurance, located here in Newton, Georgia. We're an independent agency with access to multiple carriers for home, auto, life, health, and commercial insurance. We're your one-stop shop for your insurance needs. Visit our website at www.insurewithellsworth.com or call the office at 770-755-7053 to schedule an appointment. We look forward to meeting you soon.
Moving is a big decision. Selling or buying a home in any market, but especially today's, can raise a lot of questions. Hi, I'm Amy with Killingsworth Realty. My husband Todd and I serve the Coweta and local area. Our purpose at our first meeting is to learn your goals, answer questions, and provide resources so that you can make the best decision for you and your family. Find us online at killingsworthrealty.com or call 678-525-0047 to schedule a free consultation today to discuss your real estate needs. You don't have to do this alone.
The views and opinions of this show and program are not the views and opinions of this station, its management, or its clientele.
It's now time for Heart to Heart Radio, presented by Connecting Hearts Network, connecting women to one another and resources. Now here's your host, Margie Conway.
Hi, I'm Margie Conway, and this is Connecting Hearts Network. We are a little quiet today. Everybody's been out doing graduations and all the events for the end of the school year, so the studio's a little quiet, and I'm taking full advantage of that. But as will happen, a couple of weeks ago, I was able to meet a fascinating woman, and I've got her in to share her story and what she does. This is Paulette Rigo.
Rigo,
I'm sorry. I keep adding that I. I should just look at the book that's right in front of me. She has written The Better Divorce Blueprint, and it is fascinating. It's one I wished I'd had when I went through divorce 25 years ago. It would have made it a lot easier. But according to the quiz on your website, I think I might be safe in this marriage.
Well, that makes me happy.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here, Margie.
She was brought to my attention from a friend. And like I said, she has her book on Amazon, but she has a website. It's the Better Divorce Academy, and it will be launching an online course. And there's also a workbook for it. Paulette is a divorce coach and mediator. She has reached out and started helping people with their divorces in many angles, including now in HR professionals for work. So we're going to touch on a lot of that as we go through this. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you here.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Boston. I don't have the accent. I can pretend if you want me to, but my husband has one, so every now and then I hear it, and I'm reminded of wanting to be at a Red Sox game, you know. My father was of English-Irish descent. My mother was of French descent, so I just didn't hear the accent. But when I went to school, and I think I said my kindergarten teacher, immediately my parents sat me down and said, you know, we don't speak like that here. So, but anyway, I really was born and raised in Boston at Brigham and Women's. Had a traditional childhood, other than the fact that my mother was a ballerina.
Oh, wow.
And I grew up in a ballet studio, like literally in a ballet studio, back when playpens were politically correct.
Right.
I know they're called something else now, but where you put your kids so you don't lose them, particularly when they're, you know, 18 months.
Yes.
and running around and you misplace them. Well,
right.
I used it as a bar. As in a ballet
right.
bar. No, don't get any idea about the other kind of bar, everyone.
Yeah.
But so by the time I was 18, I had been on stage, rhinestones, tutus, the whole thing. But I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be Jane Pauley.
Big difference.
Correct. So my mother was not happy about that. She wanted me to continue the
right.
legacy of the family business and all.
Right.
But my father, thank goodness, was an intellectual and went to Tufts University. And interestingly enough, majored in electrical engineering, but could not put in a light bulb.
Of course not.
Yeah. So, but he really encouraged me to go to college, right? So there was the dilemma. Ended up getting married quite young. Met my husband when I was 17, but married at 22, turning 23. I kind of grew up in a family where my sisters were a lot older than I was. So
okay.
I grew up as a kind of an only child,
right.
or in some way the oldest, some ways the youngest.
Right.
You know, that birth order thing, it kind of messed me up. I wasn't sure what my birth order was because there were siblings, but I didn't see them often. I'm like, am I the only? Am
Sounds
I the baby?
Like a good deal to me.
It was a little weird,
yeah.
but when they came home, it changed the
right.
energy, right? But they kind of went their own route in college too. But my mother had always been a very successful female entrepreneur
right.
and didn't think much of having my own business because my grandmother and my mother and my sisters all were entrepreneurs too. So I grew up in that kind of traditional road of going to college and getting married early,
right.
you know, mostly because I just felt like, well, it's on my list of things to do now, right?
Right?
Like,
right.
oh, my clock is ticking. I'm 20 something now. I think in it, like,
yeah.
oh no, if I don't get married now, who the heck is going to want me? I'm going to be
right.
this old maid. So I better hurry up and get married. And by the time I was 28, married, had a baby, and was living in a rather large house in this big Italian family that I had married into
right.
and felt like, oh my, what did I get myself involved in here, you know? And then I had the second at 30, the third at 32, and had been married 10 years with three little children in this rather large house. And I was still teaching dance part-time. Probably was more full-time, but on paper it looked like more
right.
part-time because dance teachers don't work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, because
right.
those children go to school, and how inconvenient for a dance teacher to have to wait until 3 or 4 in the afternoon to start teaching
yeah.
them. So I worked afternoons, evenings. Sometimes I wouldn't get home till 10. So it was a little tricky when my husband's career really was also a family business.
Right.
And he was very much, I'm going to say, married to the family business. It was, I'm sure many people can understand
right.
that. So I was sort of married to my family's business. He was married to his family's business. And before we knew it, it was just really kind of going on autopilot. I realized soon into the marriage that I didn't marry a man, I married a family.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that too. You know, you expect to have in-laws and you expect to have that, but yet it felt more like I wasn't just in a relationship with a man. I was in relationship with the brother-in-laws and the sister-in-laws, the aunts, the cousins,
Actually, if I could have just stayed in the relationship with the grandmother and the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and left the husband out, I would have been totally happy.
It's funny you bring that up because I really loved spending time with my mother-in-law. Right. She taught me how to cook, change diapers, swaddle a baby. I didn't babysit again. Who would I babysit? I was the youngest. Even the youngest of all my cousins, which there were only four of them. So I didn't really grow up in that lifestyle of like wanting the big family tons of kids and all. But I think he has something like 17 cousins. It might be more than that. But whereas I had four. It was just a different experience. So I married into this different environment that I had not grown up in and wasn't accustomed to. Right. And everything felt like it wasn't a good fit. I almost felt like I was wearing someone else's shoes.
Oh, yes.
Or, God forbid I use the analogy, felt like I was using someone else's toothbrush. Yeah. It just felt a little uncomfortable, right?
Right.
And what do you do when you're a dancer? The show must go on, right?
On that happy face.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I had a lot of costumes. Halloween was always an event at our house because there was no shortage of costumes, Margie, you know? And I'm not just saying tutus, you know, you name it, we had it. So whether it be, brightly colored fluorescent character costumes, we had a garage full, an attic full, a house full. And now that I was a dance teacher and the children were growing up, my daughter was also dancing. My son even took hip hop and tap and a little musical theater. And we had a cedar closet full of costumes too. So the show must go on. You just kind of do the holidays and grin and bear it. And there was so much I loved about that life. Mm-hmm. I was young. I didn't know any better.
Right.
I was dedicated to having the perfect house with the perfect children that had perfect grades and everything. I wanted everything to look like Disney World, right? Just no gum on the sidewalks, right? Just everything had to be perfect. I was the kind of parent that wouldn't go to bed unless the toys were perfectly put away. All the Disney movies were in alphabetical order. Everything was just slightly OCD. I had this feeling of just wanting to control my environment so that I would feel more comfortable in it. And if everything looked perfect, It
must be perfect.
You got it. It darn well better be perfect because, well, look, I've got the pictures to prove it, right? So fast forward many years, graduated from college, went into media, worked in TV, radio, and media just a short time because the phone rang and it was my mother and she started most sentences with, would you be good enough or would you be a dear?
Yes.
So when your mother starts a sentence with, would you be good enough? And you say no.
You feel like you're not good enough.
Bingo.
Absolutely, right.
So the sentence was, would you be good enough to sub Penny's classes for her while she's out on maternity leave? Mm-hmm. Penny was another teacher in the studio. Right. And Charlie was born in September. And I thought, well, you know, I could teach till Christmas. She'll come back and it'll be great. And so, 20 years later, I was still there, and I helped her grow her business from just over 150 students to over 1,000 with several locations. I don't do anything halfway. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to put my heart and soul into it. I'm going to own it, eat it, wear it, and make it the best possible.
Right.
So I choreographed over 350 pieces of original choreography, was teaching up to 30 classes a week with solos and tap, ballet, jazz, repertory, choreography, hip-hop, you name it, I taught it. I also dabbled in a little bit of Irish step and ballroom, you name it. If it has to do with dance, I gave it my best shot. But I found that in like year 10 of teaching dance, I started to hate it. My body was falling apart. My neck started to hurt. There wasn't a bone, a ligament, a joint in my body that wasn't either overly stretched or bruised. I had stone bruises, blisters. My knees had like calluses on them from knee spins. And just dancers kill their bodies. It's like a occupational hazard. And I was also starting to get nodules on my vocal cords from screaming at teenagers, not because I was mad at them, but over loud music. 5, 6, 7, 8. And I would come home and I would sound like this. People would say, like, do you smoke? Like, no, I just yell. And it took its toll on me physically, emotionally, mentally. And I realized I was putting my whole heart and soul into my career that I hated just so I could avoid dealing with the pain and the discomfort in my relationship. And every time I tried to change something or make a recommendation or ask a question or be involved and included, I kind of got that, why do you ask so many questions? Can't you just put on a little black dress and look cute and stop asking questions that look? And I at first did it. For many years, I just set the table, entertained a lot, wrote a lot of thank you notes, and I loved it. But I finally got to the point when I said, I am in so much pain. I quit my job, and it took me 6 years of contemplating and umbilical hernia surgery. Oh. Ironic, with the umbilical cutting of the cord,
Okay.
Of like, okay, not only am I getting a sign from the universe here that God is telling me we've got to cut the cord, my umbilical hernia was ripped, had tore me apart, baby after baby after baby, and dancers, again, lots of back bends.
Right, you ignored it.
Had all that surgery there, and I sat on the couch for 6 weeks thinking, how am I going to do this? So I remember telling my mother, I gave her my 2 years notice, not 2 weeks, but two years, and the 2 years had expired. I handed her the keys and said, I love you. Thank you so much for teaching me everything I know about dance, how to run a successful business, but I can't do this anymore. I'm killing myself. She didn't speak to me for a year. Anyway, fast forward with that. This was many years ago, and she's since passed, but I finally got to sit on the couch and do nothing. I didn't know what it felt like to do nothing, and I mean nothing. I don't think I made a bed. I don't think I cleaned or cooked or took care. I wasn't allowed to, and the doctor said, don't pick up the children, don't vacuum, don't do anything. It was 6 weeks, and of course, I think 6 weeks in a day, immediately I sprung back into the codependent habituations, right? But it gave me that time to contemplate, I've got to make a serious change. So that's a little bit of my backstory. I did eventually file for divorce. It was an 8.5 year fully litigated divorce case that included a 12-day trial. Yes, I did say that, a trial, and a 4-year state supreme appellate court process after that. So that's why it took 8.5 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars in litigation and attorney's fees. And it's one of the reasons that I founded Better Divorce Academy, authored Better Divorce Blueprint, and I work as also the director of coaching and case management for Divorce Right. 97% of divorce cases do not go to trial. So don't be scared, everyone, you know, and I'm not pro-divorce, Margie, you know that.
Well, you even put on your website, you were in the 1%, you know, it rarely goes to that extreme, but because you went to that extreme, you had to educate yourself, and that's where this started.
You have a choice. You can be bitter or you can be better. You can be part of the problem or part of the solution. And I knew nothing. I was that babe in the woods, deer in the headlights. I think I just mixed the analogies,
that's
metaphor,
okay.
But you're with me.
I
was like babe in the woods. So I knew nothing. I was so green that when the attorney said to me, there's an affidavit, I said, who's David? I didn't know the Latin. I didn't understand the terminology. I learned. And so the 97% of cases that do not go to trial use one of the five methods to divorce. 3% go to trial, which is part of litigation. And only 1% of the 3% goes to appeals. Hence, we're the 1%. It's actually 0.001%,
well,
but who's counting?
Well, there's usually one in the marriage that makes it much more difficult for the other one. And so unless the second one stands up for themselves, then there's no use going to trial because it's written out by the first one.
Yeah, you know, people will ask me, why did that happen? Why did it take so long? And what happens in this isn't my personal story, but as a professional now in over a decade's worth of work in this field as a certified divorce coach and a private mediator, as well as working in businesses with helping employees retain their wits about them so they don't quit and they lose about 43% productivity for about a 5-year period of time. Whatever hat I'm wearing, it doesn't matter, and there are unique situations for everyone. When I assess a case, a situation, a relationship, I look at it and I'm able to like litmus test it and say, what is the propensity that this couple can DIY? Can they do it themselves? Could they just go to, hate to word, use the word just, everyone, don't be, you know, could they go to therapy, coaching, counseling, and perhaps work on a few of the issues in order to, I'm going to use air quotes, save the marriage?
Right.
There are 21 top reasons couples divorce. Now, the more you have of those reasons, and apparently you don't have too many because you passed my divorce predictor quiz.
I probably would have 5 years ago, but 5 years ago, I started doing a lot of work on me, and that's not saying he didn't need some too. But,
that's the exact scenario, is it takes two to be in love. Well, that's the ideal situation.
Right.
You don't want to get married if only one person is in love, right? Or in committed. And it also takes two to stay in a healthy marriage.
Absolutely.
Work on a healthy marriage. Be transparent, honest, and be fully invested in the relationship.
Well, and those last three things that you brought up is honestly the three things I had the most trouble with was the transparency, the honest and invested, because I had so many scars and things from before that I had not had a chance to heal and was not there. Because I'll tell you, I've told you, Ricky knows it, for the first, we've been married 22 years this year, the first 15 years, I had my foot halfway out the door in a bag packed. And there was many times I went to leave. But I do want to say back to the first marriage, I had migraines. And the way I got rid of the migraines that would put me in the hospital is I got divorced and quit my job. And that changed life. But at that point, there was no investment in that marriage, not financially or anything else, because I knew from a long time before that it was just a matter of time.
Right.
So I just wanted out.
Well, you have to look at the situation
right.
as a historically what happens. So when, if there's a pattern of something, an event, a habit of stonewalling, contempt, and the four, you know, I could talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which is a great analogy for typically those four tactics that people use to start to break away at a marriage, or it doesn't have to be a marriage, a relationship, even dating, right? But particularly once you make that commitment, you're now embroiled in a legal binding contract. People don't realize that marriage isn't just a white dress and a tuxedo. It's a legal contract. So if both parties are living a life that's sort of pretending,
keeping
up that sense of like, everything's great. Why do you ask?
Right.
And they're not that you need to fall apart and be an amoeba on the floor, bawling your eyes out 24/7 either. We have a few moments of meltdowns here and there. But for the most part, if a couple is able to be transparent about their emotions, their psychological makeup, and their mental thought process and their communication skills and all of the habits or escapisms that people are using, like you said, you had one foot out the door. Those are some things that can be dealt with ahead of time. But what I find in my world in divorce, when people come to me, they're about 75% committed, right? Okay, we're pretty sure that the marriage can't work, right? Once they get to that point, it's a decision. Are we going to try to save the marriage, or do we need to seek alternative help?
That's what you said in the conversation that we had privately, and like you said, that I think I posted, you can save a marriage if both are willing to put the work in. But both have to put equal work into it to have it safe.
And I have to say, honestly, because sometimes if you have a partner that's pretending,
right,
they're also going to pretend in front of the therapist.
That's it.
Because what they're really doing is strategizing behind closed doors.
Well, that
and using it to get more time to plan.
That goes on our Wheel of Abuse that we do through the domestic abuse classes. That's exactly what they do. And in the packet of information that we get pastors and counselors, mm-hmm. and even what we tell the women that come to the group is we do not recommend couples counseling, because if there is one that is after the power and the control in the relationship, they're going to run the counseling session.
Unless you find a therapist, a counselor, that is trained,
right,
and understands cluster B personalities, or I'm not diagnosing people. Don't
right.
misunderstand me. I am not a therapist. Some people say I should be, but we're looking at healthy people that
healthy.
Are coming to therapy with right intention.
Right.
But when there's some ulterior underlying intention there, I'm going to just go to therapy because if I don't, she's going to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to therapy because my husband said if I don't, he's going to, you know, whatever
right.
it is. There's that continuing right. gaslighting, deflecting. I could keep going with this isn't a lecture on the 36 tactics that
right.
that happened, but that pattern will continue. But once I meet them and mm-hmm. I'm able to assess whether they've been married a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
they don't have children, they're W-2, which
right.
means it's much easier to get divorced, everyone, newsflash, if both parties are W-2.
Right.
And you don't have significant assets. What is significant? This isn't a money lecture. Whatever's significant to you, right?
Right.
Is that $100, $100,000, $100 million?
What are you willing to fight for?
What are you willing to are? What's your bottom line?
Right.
Or are you married a couple years? Maybe you have a young child, but you're communicative. You can get along and still co-parent. You're not parallel parenting or counter-parenting,
right.
but you're able to do it together. You're transparent about what's in the checking, what's in the savings. If you have a 401k, maybe they do too, and you're going to keep yours, they're going to keep theirs if they're relatively
right.
even. Maybe you're renting an apartment, so you don't have real estate to do.
Right.
So, and I could keep going down this path all the way to where you've been married 30 years, you have significant assets, and maybe there's even some hidden assets.
Right.
Now, once your children are 18,
it changes
a lot, because we
right.
don't need to worry about legal custody or physical custody and child support. So
right.
50% of what the courts care about is done. And it is a lot easier to, on paper, get
right.
divorced or create a divorce settlement agreement or a memorandum of agreement that I do in private mediation if we don't have to deal with minor children. Because then it's just an equitable division of marital assets and debt,
right.
what to do with it. And is this a case for alimony? If it is, great. If it isn't, great. Let's just have that conversation, write it up, and man, I can get couples divorced in 30 to 60 days for not a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I did that.
There you go.
But it's you brought up all these different scenarios that would make it easier and more complicated. The number one thing, and it was children, if there are children involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where you were talking about being able to co-parent, because I find in most of the relationships that we're dealing with, like a few that we have over at the studio now, the children are involved, and a lot of times they're used to manipulate one another. So how do you usually deal with couples when children are involved?
It's common for parties to promise themselves intellectually or in their heart that they're going to keep the kids out of it.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't work.
They're going to say, we're not going to involve the kids. We're not going to, what do we tell the kids? And they may have that intention, but before you know it, one or both of the
right.
parents, either consciously, which is horrible, but it happens, or unconsciously, which is a shame, but
right.
it's welcome to being human, get the children involved. So what I suggest, and I assess each case uniquely, is A, do not use your children as therapists
yes.
or as confidants or as a but BFF. They're not your friends. I know parents hate me for saying this, but your children are not your friends.
Right.
You can be friendly with your children. You can be unconditionally loving with your children. You can be supportive, whatever, you know, you be you. But right. when it comes to divorce,
right.
And that's what this conversation is about, do not involve your children in who said what to whom, who did what to whom.
Right.
Your children have to understand and that mom and dad are having a pivot in their life and they have a decision to make that does not involve me. I didn't cause it. There's nothing I could have done to prevent it. If I had made my bed, done my homework, brushed my teeth and 50,000 other things they probably are thinking about ruminating,
right.
it wouldn't have made a darn difference, right? So, but children see mom and dad as a part of them.
Absolutely.
And they look at mom and dad and they say, or A and B, we have to... Parents, right?
Right.
So they look at the parents and say, I'm 50% parent A and 50% parent B. And if parent A says negative things about parent B and parent B says negative things about parent A,
they're talking about me.
What does that mean, right. Margie? Well, I must be all bad
right.
because I'm not even 50% bad. If, let's say, just party A is saying bad things about party B, and party B is still saying, oh, well, no, everything's great, and they still feel 100% bad,
right.
negative. You can fill in the blank, whatever the word bad is. You know, guilty, incompetent, you know, stupid, you know, all the words that children hear.
And we carry that into our adult relationships.
We do.
Right.
So the more your child sees, hears, reads... rumor or not, because they also get it through the grapevine right. of mom and dad are saying this about mom and dad, right? They now suddenly feel less and less and less and less valued.
Right.
Not that you need to run around and start making fabulous fabricated stories about how wonderful your ex-spouse or your child's parent is, but you do need to be cautious about their feelings. And that's why it's always best. And I say it in my book, I think it's on page 66. I don't know why I remembered that, about the six things you should tell your children. I don't know if I'm right. She's looking it up. No, I could find it quickly, but it's under the chapter of a child-centered divorce of
50. Page 50.
Yes. Okay. So the six things that your children should know are you are and always will be loved by mom and dad.
Right.
Simple message, right? You are and always will be loved by mom and dad. Right? I mean, that's a universal statement.
It should be simple. It gets right. distorted quite easily when they do, like you were talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number two is you are and will continue to be safe. Children feel unsafe because
right.
divorce is another word for change.
Right.
And newsflash, adults, that's why a lot of adults feel unsafe.
Because
everything is going to change. Your name, where
right.
you live might, your finances, your work, where you live, et cetera, et cetera. And change is by some people perceived as bad, negative, and by some people perceived as positive.
Adventurous.
Right? Adventurous.
Right.
But for children, depending on the age,
right.
if they're 2 versus 12, it's going to have an impact. They need to feel routine, structure, safety, security, that there's always going to be a bed and a pillow and a dresser and a desk and a refrigerator. Kids just think in simple,
right.
and a TV, God forbid they don't have a TV
yeah,
and a computer and all that.
Right.
So they just like routine and structure.
Right.
And that's the first thing they need to hear. Right? So number three is you are not to blame for any of this, which we touched on, because they feel that sense of woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
If I'd only, it's all my fault. And I don't know a parent in all the years I've been doing this work that says, my husband and I are getting divorced because of our 5-year-old daughter,
no.
you know, or 6-year-old, right. whatever. Now, I will admit, though, that about 90 to 95% of married couples who have a special needs child divorce by the time the child is 21. That doesn't mean it's the child's fault,
the
everyone.
The stress of dealing with what they have to do.
Correct. Right. And one of the two partners typically handles it better,
right,
or both of them don't handle it well at all. But again, that is not the fault of the
right
child. Number four, mom and dad will always be our mom and dad. And I bring this up because of step-parents.
Yes.
Now, dating all of a sudden, you know, we do move on typically. You're remarried, I'm remarried, join the club, everyone. And 85% of divorced people are remarried within 5 years.
Yeah.
I did not invent that statistic. That is a real statistic.
Oh, when I got divorced, I was staying divorced forever because I married so young. And I was remarried within 4 years because I didn't date for most of the first year.
Right.
And then Ricky and I dated 3 years.
Yeah, it's a unique situation.
And he's remarried.
Most people
well,
will say
remarried
to me when they're going through divorce, I'm never doing this again.
Absolutely.
Shoot me in the foot if you even hear me talk about it, right? So come over here and, you know, slap some sense into me. And then I'm getting a darn invitation
to the wedding. Right.
So be careful what you wish for,
right,
people. And not that this show is on dating. We could do a whole topic on dating after divorce. Because dating in the digital age is a little bit unique when it comes to divorce, too. So, but be very careful that your children don't perceive that romantic new interest,
right,
as a replacement for their parent, because a child is devastated to feel that. So, and number five, this is about change, not about blame. Kind of
right
reiterating what we went over. Some people hate change. Other people are more malleable, flexible, fluid. And others are like, oh, bring it on. You know,
yeah,
they change their hair color. You know, I'm sure we all have a friend that every time you see them, they've got a different hairstyle, a different car, a different job, a different whatever. They move like the wind. And others live in the same town, in the same house, with the same partner, with the same car, with the same dog, and the same, I could keep going. And maybe those two are extremes of stubbornness,
right,
and flightiness, or maybe, I don't know, flighty maybe not the word. But
well, I thought my first husband was very, very, very irresponsible. My second husband is super over-responsible. and at first, it drove me crazy.
Sure.
And you talked about birth order. He's an oldest child, and I'm an only child. And I was, you know, very independent and stubborn. And so that could have accounted for those. Yeah, poor Ricky. But that could have. But it's really on the other side. It's hard too when you have so much instability to all of a sudden, I've been in this house 22 years, and I'm like, I never was in a house for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to the same church and everything.
Right.
So it is a big difference. And you're talking when you were talking about the kids. We got remarried or started dating when his son was 8 and mine was 14 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, that's one reason we dated 3 years, because my daughter would look at him and say, "You're not my daddy," and
yeah,
he'd still spoil her rotten. And he did spoil. He continues to spoil her rotten. And I would look at Chad and say, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have another teenager for another 5 years further than I thought I was. And
right,
I didn't know it was going to take him to his 30s to get out of his teenage years. So that was a big difference with the children when we started over. Let's change.
And just let, lastly,
yeah,
just so everyone's not
go
hanging with the hanging Chad, because
right
there are six things, is everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And those are the six things and messages that should be repetitively expressed to children. No more.
Right.
Do not give any further details.
Right. And you're true on that. I remember when I sat mine down to tell him I was getting a divorce, I thought my daughter would take it the hardest. Mm-hmm. But she said, my son had a fit, that we were leaving daddy all by himself if you do that. And my daughter quietly told him, you know, that they needed to get a divorce a long time ago.
Personality,
yeah,
maturity has a lot to do with
right
it. You might have a child that is very flexible and open-minded, and at first inception, when you tell the children that you're getting divorced, they might handle it really well, but 6 months down the road, they could just fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could also have the kid that just like is crying on the floor and screaming and swearing at you and slamming doors and throwing plates at you and flipping out. And then, you know, down the a year or two, they're like, eh. Yeah. Yeah, you guys should have gotten divorced. So, you know, hang tough, mom and dad. You know, divorce is not about your children. And it isn't divorce that harms children. It's the way you, handle the divorce will harm the children.
And that's one thing when we talked that you said, you know, if there's going to be a divorce, especially if children are involved, let's do it amicably and reasonably and take care of the children. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. We've talked a lot about divorce and the cause. And I think we could get on and talk many times about this. But let's talk about what all you've got going on with the Better Divorce Blueprint, because all these services that you're offering can help people get through this much easier. Mm. So first, you have the Better Divorce Blueprint. You have it in book on and workbook on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it is the betterdivorceblueprint.com.
Well, you can go to BetterDivorceBlueprint.com,
right?
Which is easy to remember,
right?
Better Divorce Blueprint, which is what it is, a blueprint. I wish I could give you an exact map of your situation, but it's going to give you a pretty good blueprint. If you wouldn't build a house without one, why would you get divorced?
Absolutely.
So the book is a 307-page book. A lot of people like to hold something in their hand and read it and highlight it and, you know, flip the corners of the pages and, you know, make notes and stuff. Right. There's a lot of places in the book
there
to make notes.
Yeah.
But I also ask a lot of questions, because divorce is a reevaluation of everything in your life.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to hear that or not, it is a reevaluation of everything in your life. Psychological, mental, emotional, physical, sexual, spiritual, all the mushy part. But it's also the judicial, legal, financial, residential, lending, insurance, taxes.
So it's an end on one side, but it's a new beginning on another.
Correct.
Yeah.
But because I ask a lot of questions, I created the workbook for you to have a place. It's a hardcover book that's like a journal where you can document and write down all of the questions. I don't want you to just read the blueprint and go, oh, that was nice, and put it on the shelf.
Oh, no, there's a lot
what
to
I
unpack.
Call shelf help.
Right.
This is not a shelf help book. It's also not a Danielle Steele novel.
No.
You know, it's a book that's going to say, like, okay, step one.
And we need that.
Right.
Right.
But then I've got the workbook so you can stop and say, I've got to answer these questions before I go on.
Right.
Now, I did an Audible book that will be coming out very shortly, because a lot of people like to put in their earbuds and listen in a car. Because when you're going through divorce, where's one of the few places that you have privacy?
Oh, right, in the car.
The car. And you can have it on somewhere on your phone and somewhere no one needs to know about it, or an iPad or whatever.
Right.
You could just download the book and nobody needs to know about it. Because if you have this book on your coffee table, it might cause a problem.
My funny story is when I was leaving your house, my oldest son called me and said, what are you doing, Mom? I said, oh, I just left a divorce coach. He's like, what's wrong? I thought everything was all right. What's going on? He didn't tell me anything.
I love that. Yeah.
And I was like, so I filled him in we had just met and you were coming on the show. And then I took your book and I laid it on my coffee table, not thinking my husband knew. But
not thinking
that the book was there. And our stepson is staying with us because he has a broken vertebrae in his back.
Okay.
And he saw the book and he pulled me over to the side and asked me, is it because I'm here? I will go home. What's happening? Can we fix this?
Well, and if you want to get rid of a house guest, that might be a way.
Right. So having the book does make it known that you are thinking divorce in one way or another, whether it's a guest on a show.
Or you can, you know, make up some shenanigans story that a friend of a friend or something, right? But so that's why I made the Audible book. But I also realized that many people learn visually.
Yes.
And they want to see my face and not just hear my voice. And I can also get out the whiteboard and show them a lot of things. I have checklists and PDFs and downloadables.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm creating an online course, a version of it.
Yes.
And I'm also doing that because my calendar is very full and I like to be selective about who I feel I can help the most, because there's only so many hours in the day and so many days in the week and weeks in the month, and you get the idea. And even though I try to keep my rates very affordable and to give you high value for the amount of time and dedication and experience I have, I realize that there are some people that can't afford that.
Right.
And even though the book is $15, I think it's $14.99, you know, most people can afford that, right? But it doesn't go a little bit deeper than with my enthusiasm. You can tell I'm a little enthusiastic.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take the course, not because I'm planning to get divorced, but because I want to be able to pass the information along.
Good.
Yeah.
So the course is really now a much broader and deeper version of the book. And I also bring in other experts with me that I talk specifically about legal aspect, because I'm not an attorney. Most of my friends are attorneys. I hang around with attorneys and judges and fiduciaries and realtors and lenders and CPAs and insurance brokers
and covers both your
GALs and parental experts, because I really have to have a large contact list or Rolodex of professionals. So I bring in those people based on where in the book we are. And chapters 1, 2, and 3 are before. Planning, organization, research, understanding.
Difference.
Because even if you never get to chapter 4, your marriage is going to be a lot better, because you understand if it were to go down that route, what would happen?
Right.
Right. What are your options? Now, chapters 4, 5, and 6 are during, when you're in it, and what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, and really understanding the process a little bit more. Now, I can't go into specifics, and that's where I work with people as a coach.
Right.
Right. And then chapters 7 and 8 are after.
After's important.
So it's, do you change your name if you're a woman?
Right.
Right. But if you were silly enough to change it to begin with, now that I'm on, I know, it's like, why do we do that to ourselves?
I did it on purpose because I wanted to shed that last name.
I have to admit, I did that as well. But it is a pain in the you-know-what, ladies, to go down to Social Security and the passport office and the driver's license and the banking, and it's a...
Well, and then I kept the married name afterwards because the kids had that name.
Sure.
And it was a pain to do all the rest of it.
It is, so we talk about that and the steps to do it and is it worth it, and you have to weigh that. And then your life after. Your financial security. Mm-hmm. You have a big responsibility.
Right.
There's no fairy princess that comes down and says, here's your financial plan for your future. You've really got to take the bull by the horns and make it happen.
Right.
So dating and money and career and all of the exciting future that it is your responsibility to create. So it is the book, the workbook, the audiobook, and the online course. But I also have a podcast myself. Five years ago, a friend of mine who had a radio show up in Boston, she had a wellness radio show, because I used to be a yoga teacher, birth doula, lactation consultant, macrobiotic chef. I've done a lot of interesting, weird things with my life. And she said, hey, I'd love to have you be on a guest, and then would you co-host with me? So for about 6 months, we did that, and then she vanished.
All right.
So I just kept going, and it's been 5 years now, and we're 15,000 listeners.
And you share a lot of tips and a lot of stories, because I've been checking it out.
Thanks.
First of all, I probably need to get you to mentor me, because you know more about that kind of stuff on one end of it than I do. But that's one reason I do it on the radio, so I have the accountability and I don't just disappear one day, because it would be real easy to do that if you're trying to produce and do everything on one end of it.
Well, whether you're out there listening, if you've got a passion, if you have an expertise and you want to be able to share that, or at least bring in other people to interview.
Right.
So I find that there's two ways to approach it. You can either just have a platform where you speak and coach and teach and educate, and you don't have guests, you don't interview, you're there to give value and knowledge to people for free. To me, it's a resource. I wanted to give back. But also you can have it as a platform in which you feel that you have a really large reach or broad contact list, right, where you know a lot of smart people that you want to bring in to educate yourself.
Absolutely.
As well as other people that you help. So I mix it. Right. I kind of fusion it a little. Sometimes I'll do a series on the 12 worst divorce mistakes mm-hmm. women make, or 15 questions to ask yourself before you ask for a divorce. You know, where I just bang out those interviews. It's just me. Right. I'm just teaching you. Don't do that, people. Just whatever you do, I will come to your house and help you with it if I see you doing that. You know, just giving right. them value. But other times I'm bringing in people like yourself, where we'll do an interview and tell a little bit about their story. Some of them are people that have gone through really challenging divorces.
Right.
But most of them are really just experts in their field. So if you had to do it, I encourage you. I originally started it on Anchor, which is now part of Spotify.
Yeah.
This was 5 years ago. So you can use a zillion different platforms, and having a radio show is a great idea too.
Well, this one goes out on all those platforms. Between what Ryan does and what I do, we reach pretty far as we go through it.
Reach is important. The more
reach
people you can
important.
Help, the better.
It's when you have people start telling you they're listening and they went down the rabbit hole, you say, okay, I'm reaching somebody.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point. If we can help somebody with each show, that's good. And I know this one's going to get a lot of people connected in. You have the things that we've talked about, and you also... There's two things I want to bring up, so however you want to split the time with it, is you were talking about divorce right with HR. Mm-hmm. So explain what that is and how you
Yeah, about 2 years ago, a friend of mine, colleague, peer, named Vicki Townsend, she was one of the founders of the National Association of Divorce Professionals, which I was a vetted member of and did the certified training that's called Certified Divorce Specialist. It's a little bit more of helping all professionals who work with people that may be getting divorced mm-hmm. to understand it. I pretty much just did it to add another training to my belt, but I met a lot of cool people,
oh, yeah.
which was great. And in that time frame, the two founders, Liz and Vicki, got to know my work and started to respect the work I was doing. And fast forward a few years, Vicki reached out to me and said, "Hey, I've got a business idea and I'd like to hire you as a consultant." And I was like, "I don't know if I have time for that, but sure, let's meet for coffee." She's in Fort Lauderdale, although she just moved to Asheville. And long story short, she founded a business called Divorce Right, Inc. Mm-hmm. And we are the solution, the one and only, for the corporate problem of divorce.
Right.
Corporations do not realize that divorce is a $300 billion annually expense for businesses.
Right.
Because whether you have 100 employees, let's start with 5, 10, 15, you don't have to be Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Whether you have 100 employees, 1,000, 100,000, a certain percentage of your employees every year, year after year after year, forever, will divorce.
Yes.
Whether you're pro-divorce or out, divorce
right.
doesn't care whether you believe in it. It's just there.
Right.
So those employees are going to get divorced, and they're not going to do very well on their job with productivity. They come in late, they leave early, they stare at the screen.
You're right.
And they lose about 43% productivity.
My job.
Yeah. You're exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
So most people that are divorcing lose about 43% productivity during the time frame of divorce. And whether that's 2 years, 10 years, it's an average of about 5 years.
Right.
So we come in and we train in divorce sensitivity the HR departments, not so that they can be an expert in divorce. They don't solve the problem. They don't have conversations. You know, a lot of HR people, "I don't want to talk to them about divorce." You don't have to.
You just need to understand
what they're going through.
Right.
Because if the HR professional in your company, or the company that you're using in your HR for your company,
right.
because many companies farm it out. They don't
right.
have their own HR departments. Your company is going to suffer.
Right.
And about 5 to 7, 8% of your employees will quit
right.
because of divorce. They just will. Either the breadwinner, for some reasons, or the person that's just overwhelmed and says, "Screw it. I cannot handle this." So then I step in as the director of coaching and case management, and I work with the employee to get them the right team of professionals or professional they need based on the assessment of their case, based on my experience
right.
as both a mediator, a divorce coach. Now, I don't work with every single person. I wouldn't sleep. So, but I have a team of professionals that we mm-hmm. work with. So that's what DivorceRight is. DivorceRightInc.com. If you own a business or you're an employee that has EAP or benefits, right, you might want to talk to your HR department and say, I think we need the benefits of DivorceRight. Now, we also work with some companies that provide legal insurance, too. Mm-hmm. So it's a big, long process that we go through. But it's a highly effective, and I'm really proud to be on board.
Oh, I know that it's something that is probably greatly used and is much needed. Because divorce does affect every area of your life.
Right, you know? Especially your right. career. So what happens is, you know, your spouse either says, I want a divorce, and you got to get to work in an hour or the next day, and you can't focus right. on anything. And then if you're litigating, the emails start. Mm-hmm. Now you have hearings and interrogatories and discovery and businesses, bills and legal oh, yeah. fees and meetings that is now going to be compounded with your already busy schedule.
Yeah. Okay. So they can find that at DivorceRight Inc. DivorceRightInc.com. We'll stick a link at the bottom of the podcast when we post it. All right, let's talk about Belize for a few minutes.
Oh, yes. So I'm not a fan of snow. No. I know all my Bostonians hate me for saying that. I grew up in a cold environment, and always in my heart, I said, I'm going to live somewhere warm. I live, you know, just south of Atlanta, Georgia now here right. in Noonan, and love it here. We've been here about 4 years. It is home. Mm-hmm. I'm still picking up on the southern accent here and there. You bear with me. But regardless, I moved with my then boyfriend, fiance, husband to Belize in 2016-17 and lived there for 3 years.
Right.
And in the work that I was doing prior to this work, although I transitioned into it, which is a very long story, but mostly because people were coming to me saying, can you help me?
Can you help me? Right.
I was hosting retreats. And I attended a lot of retreats, and they were all over the world, Bali, mm-hmm. Maui, Costa Rica, Vieques, Puerto Rico, and Belize. And we owned, ran, managed, directed a spa and Ayurvedic studio in Belize, mm-hmm. and I hosted retreats.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, and that stopped. And last year, it was decided, a group of my friends said, when are you going to start doing retreats again? So I host retreats on a private island and the jungle in an English-speaking, easy to get to, safe, sacred, healing environment right. for predominantly women who have made a pivot in their life because there was either a breakup, a divorce, or some loss in their life. Could be a death, a job loss. We don't quantitate or quantify what it is that the situation is, but they come down seeking adventure, mm-hmm. play, healing, a sacred environment where they feel safe and where they're able to let their hair down, literally mm-hmm. and figuratively, and go home. I can't promise 100% healed, but a different woman.
Right.
They have a plan. They feel heard and seen. And it's an incredibly powerful transformation. I'm really proud of these events. And the next one I'm doing is May 4th to the 10th, 2024. And the website's easy. Get your pen out. It's afterthenarcissist.com.
Right.
And this one is 3 days at Kapal Tree, mm-hmm. which is an eco-friendly luxury resort in the rainforest in the jungle of Belize. And then we fly and go to the island Thatch Key, mm-hmm. which is a private tropical island right off the coral reef with turquoise Tiffany blue water. And it's something I'm very proud of. I love to offer and host retreats.
Right now, looking at that cloudy sky and those tree limbs going, I could use some turquoise water. All right, we have had a lot for people to think about in this mm-hmm. conversation, so I know that we're going to follow it up, but they can find you where if they're looking for you predominantly?
Easy. It's just betterdivorceacademy.com. There are more free resources and
oh, yes.
quizzes and downloadables, audio, video, blogs, podcast episodes, you name it. So if you need information, advice, support, guidance, knowledge, look me up. I am here, happy to do a consultation with you. I'm a private mediator for those that are committed to keeping their marriage and their divorce private to avoid litigation. If you can, if you cannot, I coach you through it.
Right. And her website is full of resources. I've been looking on it. So lately, if you see me pulling up that website or reading that book or taking that course, Ricky is still stuck with me. I'm just doing it for research so that I can help someone else.
We all know other people, Margie.
Right, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So it was very good having you on today. I appreciate you coming.
Such an honor. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you guys for listening. We will be on the lookout for you when we're at local events. We got several lined up lately, and you know we're at Three Bullsboro, so it's the brick house that is on Hillcrest Chapel property. You can find us there. I would say if it's a mini, but the mini's in the shop. So just come knock on the door because I'm probably in there anyway, and we will talk to you again next week.
You have been tuned in to Heart Radio, presented by Connecting Hearts Network, connecting women to resources and one another. Located at 3 Bullsboro Drive here in Noonan. Tune in next week for another episode of Heart to Heart Radio with Margie Conway.